And welcome to Backstage Pass, a spinoff of the Rock and Roll Survivors podcast, dedicated to those in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, and somewhere in between. I'm Kristen, and I'll be talking with music writers, podcasters, photographers, promoters, groupies, and so many others who love rock and roll. So here's your Backstage Pass. Let's get started. Welcome to Backstage Pass. I am so thrilled to be joined by Lori Kay, who was just previously with me on the last episodes, and Madeline Baccaro, who was here with me previously. And I've wanted this to happen for a while now, because I think both of your books, Madeline, let's start with yours. It's In Your Mind, The Infinite Universe of Yoko Ono. And Lori Kay, your book is Confessions of a Rock and Roll Name Dropper, My Life Leading Up to John Lennon's Last Interview. The thing that I love is you've become friends, but I also think this topic, there's such a wonderful exchange between the two of you. And Madeline, I read your book first since you were my first guest. And then Lori, I read your book. And the crossover was incredible. So I want to have this conversation with you. But before we do, welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Kristen.
Happy to be here.
So thrilled to have you both. So let's just dive right in. And before we dive right in, I wanted to read, Madeline, your review on the back of Lori's book. And then I want to talk about, I think, the first question, and we'll just start with you, Madeline, is how the two of you became friends, which I just think is great. But Madeline, you wrote on Lori's book, "Great job and fascinating life story. Lori's life was saved by rock and roll. She has eloquently written a riveting memoir. Her inspiring story culminates in the scoop of a decade," I would say a lifetime, but I will not quibble there. "A joyous interview with John and Yoko, ending with the sudden tragedy that shattered her psyche and shook the whole world," close quote. So Madeline, tell us, first of all, how you and Lori met. And then Lori, if you have a different version, jump in. And then I want you both to talk about each other's books. But let's just start with your friendship. Madeline.
Okay. Well, we met through mutual admiration of each other's stories in Beatles Facebook groups, I think, possibly, and elsewhere. And I was touched by how much Lori and Yoko respected each other. And also in Lori's book, how much she brings out Linda's warmth and beauty. I mean, I really love that. And, you know, we've been supporting each other and our projects all along.
Well, you just said something, Madeline, that I'm curious about. And so if you can enlighten us. Lori, when you and I were talking, hold your thought, Lori, because I had asked Lori Lori, you're here. I don't mean to speak about you as if you're not here. Lori, I had asked you if you had spoken to Yoko after the murder, and you said that you hadn't. You just felt that it might be uncomfortable for Yoko. And so, Madeline, do you have insight? Have you spoken to Yoko about Lori?
No, I hadn't known Lori until after the fact. Wait, until recently, actually. So I never really discussed it with Yoko, no.
Well, I definitely feel that the mutual admiration is there as well. I just wanted to know if you had like an insider conversation. Lori, please.
Well, of course, since Madeline and I live on opposite ends of the country, our friendship did come about online, no doubt via Facebook. And I think it started with my comment on a post Madeline made about both Yoko and Linda. And she responded to my comment, and it started our ongoing contact with each other almost exactly 2 years ago. That was April 2022, via both social media and email. And since I was just finishing writing my book and looking for advice from her about getting published, she was super helpful. She told me about her self-publishing experience, and which, to be honest, I was totally scared to do myself. But I got to check out her book and was so impressed. And then when I finally finished mine, I sent her the pre-edited version before my publisher did their work on it. And she was kind enough to give me that complimentary comment that's on my book's back cover. And then, of course, we ended up meeting in person when she came to Los Angeles and went to Noshi Sushi. And that's sort of a tribute to Yoko in a way, having sushi together. And several months later, we've been able to hang out together as special guests in New York at the Fest for Beatles Fans, which was recent, and that was terrific.
It was.
I love that. Talk a little bit more about that experience, Madeline.
Okay, so I've been there a few times already, several years in a row, and surprisingly, Beatles fans are warming up to the Yoko situation, and I'm selling books there, and people are loving it. They're coming in and telling me how much, and me and Laurie had wished they had seated us together or near each other, but this time it was at the TWA terminal where the Beatles had landed on the anniversary, 60th anniversary. And this venue had separate like conference rooms, glass enclosed, and the authors weren't really pooled together like they normally are. But we sat on the authors panel together and we got to speak about our books, and it was a fabulous experience.
Laurie and Madeline, but let's start with Laurie. What are some of the questions that you both get asked, but we'll start with you, Laurie, that you feel... Let me ask that differently. What's a question that you wish people were asking as opposed to what you're not being asked at these events?
Well, mainly, I guess what I would love people to ask is what my experience was in terms of coming out of the interview. And what I do answer is, I felt like I'd begun to make lifetime friends with John and Yoko. And that's sadly what ended up turning it into both the best and worst day of my life, because John was shot and killed mere hours after our interview ended.
Well, you and I go into great depth about that experience for you. So I encourage listeners who may not have heard it to go back, because I had said this before, but I was 13 when he was murdered, and it was the evening for me because I grew up in LA as well when the news finally came out. And it was the next morning that I learned about you, Laurie, and I saw you. And so you have always been, I've always had this odd connection for you because my heart, I just want to reach out to you. I just can't believe that you had to go through that. And yet I do think there is something very karmically magical that it was you. And I don't know if you feel that way, but I don't know. Madeline, how do you feel about what Laurie's gone through?
I can't imagine it. I know I was a zombie for 2 years after what happened, feeling so close to John and Yoko, although I hadn't met Yoko yet. But I saw them as a family. And right away, I thought of Sean and I thought of Yoko and fell to my knees. I think it was the first time I ever fainted. So I can't imagine, you know, having been with them and on such a high and expecting a future with them and all that, and having that suddenly ripped from everybody. I mean, I can't even imagine.
And one of the things that Laurie and I talked about was this extreme guilt that you felt, Laurie. And I'm sure I'm not the only one trying to take that guilt away from you. But I wonder if you do have the perspective, if you could flip it, of that magical moment, and that you, to me at least, I mean, it's a horrible maybe destiny, but you were supposed to be there. I mean, it all worked out numerologically, if you will.
But sad to say, I do still feel the guilt as much as I try to take it off my shoulders and the top of my head. And I no doubt always will, because not just because I was the one there keeping them, John and Yoko, who had planned to be on the West Coast and in Hawaii during that time, but thanks to my birthday and the birthdays of my RKO radio team, they decided that December 8th, 1980, or Yoko's astrologer did, would be the date to have the interview, which is just horrifying. So that's just part of the guilt I feel. And the other part of the guilt I feel, as we talked about, was my confrontation with the creep who ended up killing John. And why didn't I report that he was bugging me and that he should be moved away, or notice that he had a gun in his coat pocket? And, you know, I didn't.
That's well, keep in mind, Laurie, that he lived in Hawaii. So who's to say that once they got to Hawaii, he wouldn't have confronted them then? It's just so, you can speculate any which way, but I wish the guilt would lift from you, because I know it's ingrained in you, but I wish I could help with that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I do too. I mean, you two are friends. I'm hoping all of us will become friends soon. But I do. I mean, I just, it hurts me because it feels like it's such a larger faded moment. And I agree with Madeline. I strangely happen to know a couple that lived in the Hawaii condo. And so we don't know, you know. And the other thing I was thinking about, Lori, is you and I grew up in LA, right? And Madeline, you grew up in New York. In LA, it's such an LA thing to be like, why didn't I stop this weirdo? Because first of all, we don't really walk in LA, but if we were going to see this person, we would, I think that's what our knee-jerk reaction would have been is, hey, this guy's a creep, get him out of here. But in New York, a guy walking down the street who's a weirdo, who's saying about John Lennon, you know, what did he say? I mean, that's just so New York in a way. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't see that. I wish we could lift this burden from you, but you have written this incredible book. I encourage everybody to read it. Madeline, your book is extraordinary. I've said this before, so forgive me to the listeners. I just keep saying it. Your two books to me are bookends. Honestly, go out and get copies of both because you learn so much, not only about the both of you and your incredible talents and your careers, but also the overlap is wonderful. And so I wanted to start with the first overlap I saw in your books. And Lori, let's start with you. Well, first of all, I think it's interesting that you're both only children and that you both talked about the fact that music for you, Lori, saved your life. I think, Madeline, you might be able to say maybe not saved your life, but certainly was an outlet for you because of your loneliness. Yeah. I'm an only child, so I definitely understand how music can help get you out of that loneliness. But both of you wrote about your love of Yoko Ono's Grapefruit. And I want you to both speak a little bit about that. Lori, you brought Grapefruit to be signed with John and Yoko. And Madeline, this piece to you means a lot. So Lori, start with Grapefruit, what Grapefruit is for those who don't know, and then tell me about your experience and then Madeline will pick up with you.
Well, Grapefruit is Yoko Ono's amazing book. And thanks to so many comments I'd heard from FM radio DJs and also read in music-related print publications about how Yoko and John first met and connected at an art gallery due to her fascinating conceptual art and writing, and eventually how, thanks to Grapefruit, she inspired John Lennon's Imagine, I was super eager to get my own copy of her cool book. But unfortunately, though, as a poor high school and then college student, I sadly couldn't afford to buy one. But then, when I finally happened to be walking by the most popular bookstore near UC Berkeley one afternoon in the mid-70s, I saw a copy of the latest edition of Grapefruit, the 1970 Simon & Schuster one with John Lennon's introduction. And I saw it through the window on the store's discount table, so I immediately ran in and grabbed it and bought it. And although I never could have predicted that in just a few years I'd meet and interview not only the author, but also her former Fab Four husband, that was the book I brought with me to the Dakota on December 8th, 1980, which totally excited John and Yoko. And they both begged to autograph it personally for me and said they hadn't seen a copy like that for so many years. And that's what turned me onto the idea of writing my own book. Since John told me he loved when people he knew autographed their books for him, so I told him I definitely would. And he reacted excitedly, saying, "Great," which made me feel great about eventually becoming an author myself.
Wow, that's incredible. Madeline, tell us what Grapefruit means to you.
Well, I had heard about it being published in Tokyo in 1964, while Yoko had been talking about it, you know, in the course of her interviews and things, because I got into Yoko in 1968 when I was 10 years old. So I listened to everything she said. I'm like, oh, she has this book. I wonder, you know, I want to read that. And finally, I was thrilled to get it when it was republished in 1970, and I was about 13 at the time. And I related to it as a child, you know, the odd square shape, first of all, and the unconventionality of it not being pages and pages of text. It was just little lines of instructions on each page and some drawings. And there was just an innocence in the simplicity of it. And it made the impossible seem possible. You know, she was telling you to do these crazy things like a tower of light in your garden, which John asked her eventually to build for her on their first date. And she said, well, that's conceptual. And years later, it became the Imagine Peace Tower in Iceland in memory of John. So, you know, grapefruit was the basis of a lot of things, as Laurie said, imagine, which because everything in the book is imagine a cloud, you know, a golfer swimming across the sky, imagine this and that. So, it's a great little book. I love it.
This was probably such an obvious question, Madeline, but I almost feel like the structure or the form of your book is another homage to grapefruit, because it is instructional. I've said this before, Laurie, I read through your book so fast because it was a page turner. I was like, then what, then what, then what? And it's not that I don't feel that way with you, Madeline. It's more that this is, it's a reference book. When I'm needing inspiration, I go to it. I listen to her be through you. So.
Well, yeah, I used a lot of quotes from Yoko, and a lot of them are very short, concise messages as if they're from a fortune cookie, but really, really useful and meaningful. Like, you know, she'll say, history isn't what happened, it's what didn't happen. And you can't just breeze through those. You should like really stop and think about them. And the way it's laid out is, you know, I center the quote, I make it bold, you know, something to really catch your eye. And because I didn't want pages and pages of intellectualizing and text, like all the books about her are art books. And they're using words I've never even heard of to describe, you know, what she does, which is really so simple and straightforward. So that's the beauty of Yoko, is everything's simple and understandable and digestible.
Well, and I want to hear from you, Laurie, on this as well. But Madeline, you and I talked about that I was an art history major or minor in college. And that, so I've read a lot of those art history books, and it's so over the top. It's such an insulated world. It so defeats the purpose of Yoko Ono and her conceptual art that by the time that you've even gotten, like you said, the words and content and form and the canon and all of this stuff, it's like, well, you've missed the whole point of Yoko Ono's art.
Yeah. I mean, I like books written by fans, just like Laurie, you know. I mean, she was a fan and a professional and got to interview all these people, and her questions were fantastic. In fact, John called her out on that and really gave her encouragement and said, wow, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't like people who say they've done so much research, because that's secondhand information, and they might not know. Following the artist for all their career, you know what's important and what to bring forth. And I think of it as like drawing, like you can have a stick figure, you know, your little cartoon children's book, or then you can have it fleshed out a little bit and it's a little cartoon and a little anime with more features, or you can have a caricature, or you can have an oil painting, or you can have a photograph that emits the ambiance of the person. And that's what I wanted to do, bring out her spirit. I didn't want any stick figures.
Well, Laurie, you met Yoko Ono. How do you think Madeline did on her book?
Well, I think Madeline did great, because she inspires people to really be a fan of Yoko instead of what so many people are, which is those who don't like Yoko because they point at her and say, oh, she's the reason there are no more Beatles, which is total bullshit. So I think Madeline's book definitely just fights that and just shows everybody that that's not true, that Yoko and John's relationship improved him 100%.
I believe I said this before, and then Madeline, I'll pick up on your thought, that I was very surprised after the episodes with you and I, Madeline, came out, at how quickly the male, for the most part, male haters came on my Facebook page And just the same old boring trope. She was a gold digger. She broke up the Beatles. You know, she's screaming. She can't sing. And I thought, wow, are we really back in 1969? I mean, really, we've just learned absolutely nothing. So, and Madeline, you were saying that you surprisingly are not getting as many haters these days. And I guess, Lori, that's what you're saying. I'm hoping your book exposes Yoko finally to this brilliant artist that she is.
I hope so. I think they see the credibility of the book because I'm putting up all the reviews I'm getting, and they're from Yoko's colleagues, her family, Sean. You know, I mean, they are still saying some stupid things, but there's very few of those because they'd rather say nothing, I guess, because they see how credible it is. So that's good.
Interesting. Interesting. So Madeline, tell us what you love about Lori's book.
I love the fact that she was able, first of all, to meet and interview so many legends, and that she was such a great journalist and broadcast. I love Lori's voice. Oh my God, her broadcasting voice is fantastic. And that's partly, you know, what resonated with me and made me interested in who she had interviewed. And it's much more, there's a lot of people in the Beatles world that she did, George Martin, Paul and Linda, of course, but so many other people too. The Ramones, she did the Dick Clark scripts for him. And it's just a fascinating story. I love, you know, her troubled childhood leading to her running away a few times, her time in Bali studying dance. It's just a fascinating memoir leading up to all these interviews and writing jobs. It's just great.
Thank you.
Would you like to reply to that, Lori? What would you like
Wait,
to say?
I want to tell you my favorite moments, though.
Please.
I love when Paul thanks her for the interview and he stands her up and bends her over and does the tango with her and gives her a kiss. I mean, what's great better than that? And John, you know, she's sitting next to John on a love seat. And every time she says something that resonates with him, he says, "You hit the nail on the head. Thank you. That's exactly right." And he slides his glasses down his nose and looks right in her eye and gives her encouragement. And I mean, it's so beautiful. And she gets more encouragement from two Beatles than anyone in her own family. So that's the gist of it, really, right?
Absolutely. I've never been so validated in my entire life.
Madeline brings up a really good point, Lori, because, and I said this before when you and I did our interviews, reading your book, and I come from a really dysfunctional family as well, so different than yours, but dysfunctional nevertheless. The thing that struck me was you were so crystal clear on your path. You may not have known where you were necessarily going to end up, but music was your lifeline. You could have taken a really different path in your life. You could have gone very dark based upon what your life experiences as a youngster gave you, but you didn't. So where did this inner strength come from?
Well, I had a lot of encouragement, not only from the families of my friends that I went to school with, but also, for example, from a disc jockey at KMET-FM, who said to me once he heard my voice when I was in his disc jockey booth accepting tickets that I'd just won to the Rolling Stones Nicaragua benefit concert at the Forum. He said, "Wow, with a voice like yours, you need to be on the radio." And so basically what he did was point out to me, that's going to be your career. You're going to be on the air. So hearing things like that, which I actually did from others as well, and I had a teacher in an advanced placement class in high school who would read what I'd written for her and saying, "You're an author. You're going to be writing for a living." And all those things just kept me going and got me to go forward as opposed to staying backwards and being depressed.
Oh, incredible. Well, I would like you now, Lori, to tell us what you love about Madeline's incredible book, In Your Mind, The Infinite Universe of Yoko Ono.
Well, as I mentioned, what I love about it is that it points out to people what a great and talented person Yoko is and always has been. And she's an amazing writer and conceptual artist herself, and inspired John when it came to Imagine, and inspired so many other people when it came to her artwork. And it just, it inspired me, because when I first started hearing about her, that's immediately what I wanted to find out more about, what it was that made her so great. And once I read Grapefruit, I pretty much knew.
I've said this before separately, but I'd like to say this about the two of you together, because the thing that I love about your books is you're both unabashed fans of John and Yoko's. That's clear. And yet you really approach it with an objectivity that I appreciate. As a trained historian, I do like research, and you have to back it up with evidence. And you both back it up with evidence, whether it's your interviews or quotes from people. And yet the writing that the two of you bring about is just this love letter to your subject matter. And so I would like, you know, Madeline, talk a little bit about that. Was that hard for you? I saw somebody recently say about your book, was it Cherry Vanilla, I think, who made a comment about, oh, it's so great. And this is not a put down, but it's so great the way you put this book together for your idol.
Oh, she said, you make your idol come alive. Yeah.
You make your idol come alive. And I thought, yes, but I don't think that was necessarily a given. It could have been too schmaltzy. It could have been too over the top. It could have been many different versions of this. But I think you're so straightforward with the approach to it that it, for me, feels very well researched, along with this love letter that you write for her throughout all the pages. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about your approach.
Well, I didn't even know I was writing a book. I had been writing about Yoko all my life. And I had all these separate stories, whether it was about meeting John or about John meeting her family or about an artwork, an album review, a concert review. I'd write notes in my notebooks every time I met with her and spoke with her. So I had all this, and my boyfriend gave me software and said, put this all in there and you can arrange it. So, okay, here I am now. I have a 500-page book. And then it took 2 years to kind of put that all together. But what I really did was just speak about a beautiful person. She's totally positive. This is what John loved about her. She's brilliant. She's wise. She's, you know, always trying to help the world. She's a humanitarian, basically. Generous, kind. She answered every letter that was written to her practically. She's caring about John's fans. She's caring about releasing his music and making it sound the way he would have wanted it to sound, remastering, remixing, giving the fans, you know, everything that she can. And I just think that there's so much wisdom here that needs to be displayed. And I, you know, in a way, although it is an objective view, there's really nothing negative in there. I've debunked all the lies. She wasn't a gold digger. She came from a family of billionaires, and she rejected all of that. She didn't stalk John. She thinks that's a horrible thing for any girl to do. You know, it's all backed up by every quote has a place, date, and time where it's from, a publication, whatever, right under the quote. I didn't shove it all in the back because I want people to see this is who said this, this is when, and this is where. Even if it was Yoko who said it, this is when, and this is where. And nobody can refute all these lies are lies.
Lori, I definitely want to hear from you, but I need to follow up on something. Madeline, have you ever spoken to Yoko, had a candid conversation about how misrepresented she's been? And did that take a toll on her? How does she remain so positive?
Well, it used to upset me. I used to get very upset. And one day we were backstage at a concert and she was reading one of her reviews and she had a song called It's Time for Action. And they had called it It's Time for Aspirin. And she was laughing so hard. And I said, wow, if she can laugh, I can laugh. So, you know, I mean, we have no idea. I mean, I've known her most of my life and I've read everything, but there's still some things that we don't know the depth of what was done to her and said to her, let alone just criticism. But after John was killed, the stealing of his diaries, the death threats, the kidnapping threats, the character assassination of her, all of her trusted employees conspiring to slander John and Yoko in books, and some of them succeeding and becoming bestsellers. I mean, this woman, what she had to go through was unimaginable. She did it with grace, dignity. She's a survivor. She survived for the sake of her young son. And this is how she handled it.
Well, she continues to be an inspiration to me through your book. So, Lori, you and I spoke on the last episodes, but I want to tease this out a little bit more with you, because you had said that in your approach to your writing, that you didn't keep like a long lifelong diary so that you remembered every single event, so you had to reach out to people. But one of the things I'm so impressed with the way you tell this story is your each moment, whether this was intentional or not, I'm assuming it was intentional, it's like this faded life. It's like each thing, each event took you to the next event, which led you all the way to John and Yoko. How did you approach your writing with this? Was that intentional?
Well, once I started writing, my memory was just, it just came out even more. And I started thinking of things that were associated with it or that reminded me of it and that sort of thing. So that's what helped, because to be honest, getting older, I do have memory problems, especially not having left any pages of what happened or diaries or anything. So all I can do basically is listen to interviews and see what that sets off in my mind, how it reminds me of, oh yeah, that's what I felt like. And that's how great it was. And, you know, because for example, after all these years, and thanks to the way she and John created Double Fantasy, Yoko still means so much to me when it comes to their multi methods of improving and resurrecting male female relationships and making them work out so well, like theirs ended up doing. And before John came down from his solo tail end of their Rolling Stone photo session to join our RKO radio team for what tragically turned out to be his last interview, Yoko and I chatted for quite a while about the relationship between men and women in society and the pressing need to open up a new dialogue and improve communication between the sexes now that the 80s were underway. And that was extremely inspirational to me back then. And once I started listening to the interview, I started thinking about that and remembering, oh yeah, that's what helped me in every relationship I had after that. Thank you, Yoko. And so she's no doubt the only friend I ever even began to make who could help create such advice on improving loving relationships and end me up in a terrific marriage. So I owe Yoko a lot.
Well, Madeline, that goes back to what you were just saying about Yoko, that she was accused of stalking John and that she would have hated that. And that's, to me, even why it's even more important that your book is out there, both of your books, because John would have wanted Yoko to be highlighted in the most wonderful way imaginable. And it just frustrates me for him when people say she's horrible. And it's like, but if he loved her and thought she was brilliant, who are you to say that? Just drives me nuts. So I want to continue this and we're going to wrap this up soon. But Madeline, tell the listeners why everybody should buy a copy of Lori Kay's book, Confessions of a Rock and Roll Name Dropper, My Life Leading Up to John Lennon's Last Interview.
I love it because it's very candid. She's very natural with the people she interviewed. She tells a lot about the interviews. Everybody seemed to befriend her. You know, I guess she was pretty young but very well spoken and very intelligent. And her questions were fantastic, you know, not run of the mill at all. And I think, you know, there's a lot of insight and of course leading up to the John and Yoko interview, which is now the last part of the book. And anybody who loves music or rock and roll or any kind of music would really appreciate her story. And anyone who had a little rough childhood or a lonely childhood could really relate as well.
I absolutely agree. Lori, what did you say?
Much appreciated, Madeline. Thank you very much.
Lori?
Absolutely. The thing that and then Lori, I want you to talk about Madeline's book, but I just want to piggyback off of what you just said, Madeline, which is the thing that I love about your book, Lori, amongst many other things, is if you grew up in the biz like I did in LA, it's all, especially back then, it was all about connections, who you knew, how you got somewhere, who knew whom. You know, reading the back of an album and liner notes was so much fun because you could always figure out how it all came together. And so that's what I love about your book in this regard, is that you're the connection, and yet you also put all those other connections together. I just think it's wonderful. So, Lori, tell us about Madeline Beccaro's amazing book, In Your Mind, The Infinite Universe of Yoko Ono.
Well, it's definitely worth reading because, as Madeline says in her book introduction, this is a tribute to Yoko. It's a portrait painted in words, telling her true story simply and directly, including her own voice, which is amazing. And that's an amazing and accurate description of Madeline's book right there. Plus another fascinating concept Madeline came up with. Quote, if not for their meeting, we would not have known John Lennon as the person and the legend he became. Wow, that's so true. What a thought. And also, as Madeline points out, especially to people who mistakenly associate Yoko with the breakup of the Beatles, quote, more people are becoming wise to the truth. They're beginning to understand why John loved Yoko. This is evident in headlines such as the one in New York Magazine in 2015, Yoko Ono and the Myth That Deserves to Die. So just hearing about these things, these type of things in Madeline's book, including Madeline providing proof of her well-written complimentary thoughts like, Yoko is sweet, wise, and kind, is a great reason for potential readers to buy her book. And not only that, her book cover is so cool. You definitely enjoy it even before you start reading it.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
By an Australian artist, the cover. It's I asked her if I could use it. It was a greeting card. And she was thrilled when I asked if I could use it. And she said that Yoko had tweeted her to say that she loved it too. So thank you, Lori, for that glowing review. I really appreciate it.
And tell us who the artist is again of your
book. Her name is Kat McInnes, and she's from Australia. She has a website, katmcinnes.com.
It's wonderful. I love that glowing review, and it's true. And I really can't pan the camera over here, but both of your books are sitting right here. And I love the fact that Yoko Ono was really big on Twitter. I was as well, but she used it in a way that was just so perfectly Yoko Ono. Just, yeah. I love it. And I, to this day, ever since I've been reading your book, and as I've mentioned, it's a reference book for me. I pick it up and read a little bit of it every day, whereas Lori, I read yours cover to cover because, you know, again, these are why you need these two books together. They're definitely bookends. But even this morning, I was not having a great morning, and I picked up your book, and I thought, I'm going to be a warrior for peace. I'm going to smile. And I just kind of took these Yoko Ono moments from you and your amazing book. And I do definitely consider it an inspirational read, both of your reads. So before we close out this very special episode, Lori, tell us where everybody can get your book and tell us about the audio book that you did. Just give us, spill the tea.
People can get my book everywhere online, from Amazon to Target to Walmart, Goodreads, and just about every bookstore website, including Barnes & Noble and so many, not just all over the country, but in Europe and also throughout the world. So that's really cool. And then it's in a number of bookstores on their shelves as well, which makes me very happy. A lot of people I know bought it not just at Book Soup here in Hollywood, but also Barnes and Noble stores all over the state. So that's great. And they can also go to my publisher's website and order it from them. And there's all these links online on my website, which is confessionsofarockandrollnamedropper.com. And not only that, but when they go there, they can hear a bunch of podcasts and read my bio and that kind of thing, and live readings from my book. So that's good. And as far as the audiobook, that was something, it did take a while to do, but I do have a recording studio at my house. And so I used a producer and voiced it myself. And the cool thing was, is that we were able to use quotes, actual bites from the interviews that I conducted. So you'll hear Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, Ramones, Talking Heads, you name it, keep going. And that was a lot of fun.
That's fabulous. And so that's you having a publisher. That's you not self-publishing. You had the backup of a publisher. Madeline, you decided to self-publish this. So first of all, tell everybody where they can pick up your work as well as your writing blog.
Okay, so you can get the book at conceptualbooks.com. That has the hardcover and the softcover, and you can have the option of getting it signed by me. You can also get it at bookbaby.conceptualbooks.com. Overseas, it's probably best for Amazon for your free shipping. So it's on Amazon worldwide. Any bookstore can order it if you ask it by name. It's not necessarily on the shelves. Independent bookstores have it sometimes. And my music writing blog is MadelineX.com, MadelineX.com. And the book's website, where you can, as Lori said, you can see other interviews I've done, see pictures, and hear some audio. Well, there are audio clips on YouTube, which I'll give you too. But the website is inyourmindbook.com. And the YouTube channel is at Madeline Bocaro, B-O-C-A-R-O is my last name. And there are some readings up there right now that we've put up. So you can check those out. And that's everything.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I'll make sure when this episode comes out to put both of your links on there. And I just want to thank the both of you so much for joining me. And Lori, I said this to you on the last episode, and now I'm going to say it to the both of you, Madeline. I think, Lori, your book, Confessions of a Rock and Roll Name Dropper, that ends basically December 8th, 1980, right? We go through your whole life. There's a volume 2 waiting to be written. And Madeline, we have Yoko Ono, whose unfinished life is still a work in progress. So I look forward to reading and hearing and promoting the both of you as much as I can. I think your books are fantastic. I think the both of you are so talented. And I, for one, am grateful that even if it was awful, that it was you that went through it, Lori, and Madeline, that you're friends with Yoko and brought her story to life. The world is a better place with the two of you. So thank you so much. Until then.